goes from shooting hoops to the Super Bowl. We like sports and we don't care who knows.
Football. Tennis.
Hockey. Cam Charon.
Yeah.
It's been way too long since we've done this.
It's nice to see you, buddy.
Yeah. I'm glad everyone listening to this podcast now knows that we do, in fact, like sports.
We like sports.
Yeah, we were passing the pigskin back and forth before we started this.
Yeah.
Feeding me the rock.
For those of us who came here after taking part in our Canucks Army live chat for the draft lottery, thank you very much.
Yeah.
This is, I guess, a bit of a continuation. We're going to spend a little bit of time discussing the Canucks draft fortunes because there's still quite a lot of talk. This would have been a good podcast to have Reese on because he knows a little bit more about the WHL than
No. He would have just depressed everyone a lot. So
that's true.
We don't want to do that. We want to uplift.
Yeah.
Instead of kill people's buzz.
Well, it doesn't help that Jake Virtanen was who? Craig Button. Wow, sorry.
That's okay.
I need more beer.
Yeah. Jake Virtanen, who Craig Button... Craig Button started drinking beer before he picked Jake.
Craig Button had Jake Virtanen going to the Vancouver Canucks at 6th overall.
Yep.
The Vancouver Canucks, of course, not winning the NHL draft lottery.
No.
And will, for the 42nd time in their history, 43rd time now, will not be drafting first overall.
Yeah, it's quite the streak. Almost as impressive as their no Stanley Cup streak.
Mm-hmm. And I guess we should start off by why Jake Virtanen is not a good choice for the Canucks.
Yeah, go for it. You probably know more about him than I do.
Okay. Well, basically, Virtanen has been playing on the same line as an overage player in Calgary named Brady Brassard.
Mm-hmm.
And Brassard's been really driving the play, so that's sort of elevated Jake Virtanen's point totals. Otherwise, you know, Virtanen... You know, I guess decent skill, but he's, you know, you're a hockey player. A lot of young hockey players have pretty good skill. He was a pretty high pick in the WHL Bantam draft.
Well, he's known for having a lot of speed, right?
Yeah, he might have been number one. Yeah, but it's mostly the size that I think scouts are.
And his shot, Bob McKenzie was saying, right?
Yeah, but he's, if Milan Lucic wasn't in the NHL.
Wait. Are you saying he's the next Milan Lucic?
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody dropped that. I don't want to be the first to say it, but
this guy's basically the next Milan Lucic.
He's the most Lucic-y out of the first 10 players I think available in this draft. Just scrolling down the CSS rankings,
right?
There's some size there, but there's also a lot of skill.
Well, so who would you like to see the Canucks take at six?
Well, it really depends how it shapes up.
Let's say it goes like the first four or five picks go like fairly to what Bob McKenzie's.
So we'll say Ekblad, Reinhardt, Bennett are top three. Dreisaitl goes four. Dal Colle goes five.
Right.
The guy I'm really curious about is Kasperi Kapanen. He was held out of the World Juniors due to an injury, so we didn't get to see a lot of him. He's
playing in like the Finnish Elite League or something like that, right?
He plays with Kaipa. He was a number one in the CSS European rankings, ahead of one William Nylander.
Mm.
I think he's a bit of a smaller guy.
I'm sure that would go across very well in this market.
Mm-hmm. But you really look at the types of player, you know, the players that the Canucks have right now, like with Brendan Gaunce and Bo Horvat. Do you really need more size, leadershipy, gritty? Like, what kind of player do they want? I think that they just need someone that can be a potential game breaker. So
I think we should, you know, we started talking about individual players. I think we should talk more about philosophy before we get to specific players. So now I'm not honestly sure about the logistics of this. So maybe you know better than me. So I'll ask you, how responsible is a GM for the picks his team actually takes? And how much does he defer to his scouts and all that jazz? Like, how responsible was Mike Gillis, for example, for Canucks' pretty poor draft record?
I'd assume that Gillis gets the final say on the first round.
Yeah.
But then after that...
He hasn't seen these guys. There's no way any of these GMs have seen enough of these guys to make informed opinions.
Yeah, you pretty much have the director of amateur scouting is calling the shots. The GM can suggest attributes to look for.
So I mean, obviously, you know, the GM is gonna be the scapegoat. No one's really gonna call for the like head of scouting's head. Like that's not really how it works. So,
although that's been happening in Vancouver for a while, is it still Ron DeLorme?
I think it is.
Like I've been hearing Ron DeLorme should be fired for about 10 years now.
Yeah, it's
like the Canucks just have a brutal drafting track record, and it could be a luck thing, but I don't think, you know, the philosophy has not been there for the last few years. I think Hunter Shinkaruk might have been the first wow pick
in a long time. And they kind of fluked out.
And they really fluked into Hunter Shinkaruk.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need more guys like him. And obviously, he's not, his stock isn't at an all-time high because he sat out the entire year to injury.
You know what, though? I'm not, like, when these teams blow these picks, I'm not surprised at all because from what I know from like scouts I've met and stories I've heard, it's such an old boys club. Like it's all these guys who either used to play in the NHL or spray your beer everywhere. It's all these guys that either used to play in the NHL or have some sort of connection to someone. Like none of these guys are actually even really qualified to be making these opinions and evaluating these players. But for some reason,
we can't judge them on it. And I just spilled a beer everywhere.
Cam, I'd tell you to log off if you weren't already logged off.
Yeah, don't worry. Why, just because I'm drunk?
So I'm not surprised at all that these guys are, you know, blowing these picks and, like, coming out of, like, Mark Jankowski, like, stuff like that.
Well, you know, hockey management itself is not a real, let's just say it's not a game where people are held accountable for mistakes. Turn your phone off.
That's yours.
It's not, you know, people aren't really held accountable for their mistakes. We saw Scott Housen.
Right.
At the lottery.
He was on my television.
Yeah, he was on. This is my television. We've moved our studio, by the way.
We're in Cam's basement right now.
We're now in Cam's mom's basement on the second floor of this apartment on Broadway.
Yeah. Mom, we want some protein.
Yeah. So, Scott Housen's there. Scott Housen had this brutal record in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And now they flipped their general managers. I think that they're going in a much more progressive direction.
Yeah.
With their coaching, with the types of players. Shut up. Turn your phone off. Oh, wow, that's actually Reese texting me.
Yeah.
Wonder if we should read what he has to say.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Reese tells us.
This is riveting podcast, Cam.
Yeah. Important stuff, Jake Virtanen. He was a passenger with two top-scoring forwards in Brady Brassard and Greg Chase. His low assist rate is concerning. Calgary had the WHL's highest shooting percentage in PDO for the most of the year. Not unreasonable to wonder if Virtanen was riding high shooting percentages. He has good physical tools for sure. He will likely be an NHLer, but I don't think he's a future top sixer. Also, Calgary was one of the WHL's poorer possession teams. So there you go. And it's very important to note with Jake Virtanen that while he had 71 points in 71 games this year, a year ago he had 34 points in 62 games. Compare that to a guy like Michael Dal Colle. Actually,
I feel like this draft is really rich on good names.
Yeah, they have some great names.
I feel like there's some really good names, especially in the top 10.
Dal Colle had 95 points in 67 games this year. Last year, 48 points in 63 games, a little bit higher of a points per game rate, and he really built on that this year, and he's really carrying the offense on his own. You know, he's turned Cole Castles into a guy that Vancouver fans have become excited about.
Anyways, before your phone started ringing and you spilled beer and started telling people about Jake Virtanen again for no reason, we were talking about
philosophy,
scouting systems and stuff like that, and I feel like people believe that, you know, oh, Mike Gillis was the problem. Now he's gone. Now everything's gonna be better. All the same other people are still here making the same decisions. Yeah. Like,
well, and I don't even know if it's a good thing right now because you come in and you have a pretty directionless franchise right now.
Yeah.
Who, if the draft was held tomorrow, who's the one making the pick?
Well, especially since Trevor Linden was saying that during his like press conference where they were announcing him to the introducing him to the team, he's like, yeah, we're gonna have someone by mid June, hopefully start of June. And the draft's on like the 27th.
Yeah. So whoever's coming in is going to have a whole lot of time to prepare.
Meeting people. And
so you really have to trust the Canucks scouting system right now.
Which has not shown us much reason to trust them.
Well, maybe they were being held back by management, being told. Now they're kind of on their own.
Of course. Mike Gillis was definitely holding them back.
Who knows?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that there's a there's reasons to be optimistic if they make the right calls. This, you know, with the number six pick, it's a really important pick. This is their highest pick since
you can't blow top 10 picks, like,
but you can.
I mean, you technically can, but I mean, yeah, to, you know, survive as a GM in the league.
Yeah, fair enough.
You need to nail your top 10 picks. Yeah. Like,
this, you know, this is a really important, you know, this is a really important pick, and I have brought up the Canucks, the 2014 Canucks, sort of an analog to the 2012 Montreal Canadiens. You know, a good possession team with a lot of good things about it, yet was dragged down by some pretty inept coaching, an awful power play.
Yeah.
Just a completely unlucky fluke show, bad to look at power play.
Right.
And Montreal got in the lottery. They took Alex Galchenyuk, and they're a playoff team again.
And yeah.
And I don't think that the Canucks are really that far off from being that team. You know, right. Ryan Kessler and Thomas Plekanec they're pretty well the same player. Montreal just has a lot more small wingers, I guess, you know, who are coming up, a lot more exciting talent.
Right.
They flipped Yaroslav Halak for Lars Eller. The Canucks flipped Corey Schneider for Bo Horvat. It's, you know, there are those comparisons.
Right.
I think that,
well, now, and if they trade for Evander Kane, he can be Vancouver's PK Subban. And
you're racist. They don't even play the same position.
No, I mean, someone that is going to just, like, irrationally just get, like, hated on. He's going to get, like, yeah, you know, Ian McIntyre is going to write a column about how he was late to a team function, so he was suspended for a game. And
I don't feel that the Vancouver press does that as much.
But
I'm not sure that, you know, I'm not first on the block to, you know, I'm not lining up to get the Vancouver Sun and read the stylings of Ian McIntyre and Elliot Papp every morning. But
I find this hard to believe.
But I think of all the Canadian markets, Vancouver is the one that has the least amount of people that really question the focus of the players.
But that's because the Canucks have been good.
Well,
you need to keep in mind. The Canucks are routinely missing the playoffs.
But they haven't won, right?
But they've been a very successful regular season team.
Like people have been all over the coaching, all over the management, and the Sedins basically got a free pass this year, which I'm completely fine with.
If the Canucks win like 30 games next year, you'll see that paradigm shift a lot, and you're going to see a lot of things about Alex Edler parties too much and stuff like that. Like, just like, that's why he was a minus 35.
Like, no, what? But we know these stories. Like, we know that Zach Cassian does party too much.
Every player parties too much.
And yet nobody, like,
if you were a 25-year-old,
Zach Cassian is the most obvious target for sports writers who want to moralize. Yeah. And I don't think that sports writers really went after Zach Cassian much this year.
But they did last year. There were all those stories last year about how he got, like, benched by the team and sent down to the AHL because he was at the Roxy. And
well, because he got benched by the team and sent down to the AHL. This is not, like, a sports writer creative thing.
But I don't know. Like, why was he sent down to the AHL because he was at the Roxy? That's a question I have.
Well, sure, but that's not, like, a
sports writer. Top 60 does the Roxy all the time. I've seen him there, like, three times this year.
Well, yeah, but that's not, like, it's not a sports journalist creative thing if Zach Cassian is benched and goes down to the AHL. That, you know, the journalists didn't do that to him. The management did. I think that you can criticize management as much as you want, but because ultimately management is responsible for the players,
right?
Both on and off the ice. And if the players turn out to be the wrong guys, I think management screwed up. That's an interesting debate that we're having with the Leafs Nation a bunch, is who's really to blame? Is it the players, or is management who picked all the wrong players? And I think that in Vancouver, unlike any other Canadian market, the focus has really been directed at management. They did it, you know, Mike Gillis did this wrong, this wrong, this wrong. And, you know, people have given Brad Richardson his props this year. Undeserved, maybe.
They do that in every hockey market. Like, Jim Slater probably gets so much props from Gary Lawless. Like, all these guys that are, like, random third, fourth line players that are kind of gritty,
yeah,
get these free passes because they have such low expectations of them, right? Like,
yeah.
Brad Richardson was, like, pretty clearly holding back David Booth and Zach Cassian in a big way.
Yeah.
Like, even if you put Mike Santorelli in that position, they probably have at least a couple extra points each. At least. So, like, but nobody is ever going to write, like, you know, you're never going to see in the province a guy writing about how Brad Richardson was the problem because, the casual fan sees Brad Richardson like, oh, like, this is such a gritty guy. He's on the penalty kill. Like, he does so many things well.
I don't know. I think
he's just not skilled enough, and it's not his fault.
But I think it's more likely, like, in, you know, there's nothing like the Provies in any other market.
Right.
Where you have Jason, a friend of the podcast, Jason Botchford.
Yeah.
Who's connected to the team. He's in the dressing room and he's writing these sporadic takes about the team, taking into account that the way that fans feel about the whole direction of the organization. I don't think that you see that in any other market. And I guess that's sort of where I see the Canucks mainstream media is. I kind of see it a little bit more through Botch.
But that's just one person. And you know what? Botchford takes a lot of flack from other guys in his field for the work he does. So I don't think it's like a collective thing. I think you're pointing at what Botch is doing, but I don't think anyone else is really doing that.
Okay, well, fine. Well, let's just say that he's the most.
Do you want me to read you the headlines of Elliot Papp's 5 most recent articles?
No, because writers don't write the headlines. if you actually ever worked for a newspaper, you might know that.
I'm glad I've never worked for a newspaper.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't want anyone writing my headlines for me.
That's really what it comes down to, isn't it?
Basically.
So we kind of went straight away from the draft a little bit.
Here. No, let's talk more about Brad Richardson.
Okay. So let's find the next Brad Richardson.
Jake Virtanen.
Okay. Are there any guys in the draft? Have you looked at it enough to know any like sleepers that you're looking at particularly?
I don't know. Like, how is there, when you're picking 6th overall, you're not really going to find a sleeper. Like,
well, you are 36.
I honestly have not looked in the 2nd round. No. But I feel like, you know,
you've been to some junior games this year. You've seen somebody.
Not really. I hate forming these opinions off of like seeing a highlight reel of a player or watching them play once or twice. Like, these guys are like 17, 18 years old. They all have random bad games. Like last year when I saw Hunter Shinkurek, he sucked.
Yeah.
And then look at all his other games, and he put up massive point totals. But in this one game, for whatever reason, maybe his girlfriend didn't want to talk to him the night before, blah, 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 he sucked. And if I form that opinion based off of that, then I'd obviously think very differently of him. So I honestly don't know. Personally, I'd love to see them take William Nylander.
Yeah.
If only because the hashtag bring Willie home is one of my favorite things on Twitter.
The guy I have...
How do you feel about bringing Willie home?
I like the idea of bringing Willie home. It's just because he favorited a few Canucks Army tweets this year.
But the thing is, like...
I think he'd be a lot of fun. Right. I think he seems like a fun guy. He'd mesh with Eddie Lack.
I'm racist.
No, Lack.
I'm assuming that every Swedish person ever has gotten along with each other.
No, I'm saying this is that, you know, Lack's obviously a guy who not, you know, who's not only a pretty good goaltender, but he really does interact with the fans. He really likes being a Canuck and all that. He likes the city.
Right.
And I think that him and Nylander would really get along, and Nylander also seems like a fun guy who would make Twitter fun. It would make blogging fun.
Listen, if you want to bring in a fun Swedish guy who's going to get along with Eddie Lack, just bring Ludwig Blomstrand up.
Yeah. True enough.
Just give the people what they want.
A guy that I kind of have my eye on, just for a few reasons. One, he's a small defenseman. I was looking it up and there were like 8 defensemen who were 5'11" or shorter drafted in the 1st round. They all made it at some point. One of the top, I'd have to check and see what it was when I was writing about Joe Hicketts.
Okay.
Julius Honka plays for Swift Current. He's 5'11", 175, pretty small defenseman, 56 points in 62 games. We've seen all the data from Copper and Blue. Have done some great job. Great. You know, they've done a great job showing, you know, defensemen that score points in junior are the ones who are most likely to make the NHL.
Yep.
I really like Honka.
How about... Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
And, you know, he scores a lot more than Hayden Fleury, who's a little bit bigger.
Right.
I think. And he's from a place called Carlisle, Saskatchewan.
Oh, that's fine.
Which is the most hockey... Wow, he's going to be drafted by Toronto, I just realized.
Okay. I honestly, like... taking all the names out of it, out of the equation,
yeah.
I think the Canucks just need to just get like the most skilled player on the board
yeah.
with every single one of these picks.
It's probably going to be Nikolaj Ehlers at number six.
Yeah, but like anyone, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't know. Do you think Kapanen is skilled? Like,
well, I mean, like,
McKenzie referred to him as like a skilled, smaller guy.
Well, yeah, McKenzie hasn't seen him, neither have I. Like,
right.
You know,
I'm sure he's gotten scouting reports from scouts.
And, you know, I'd like to think that Kapanen is probably going to be the best player on the board. But, you know, you probably can't go wrong with Nikolaj Ehlers.
Right.
As long as you just stay away from the big guys like Vertanen. But, you go down the list, there's actually some really good names. Like, I think even the second round, they might get someone that falls, like...
But see...
Like Nikolaj Goldobin, who's had a couple good years in Sarnia.
Right. Who are the Russian guys you were talking about?
Well, Goldobin was one of them.
Right.
He's one Russian.
There's a couple other ones.
Yeah, there's two that played for Moncton this year.
Right.
Ivan Barbashev.
Yeah.
Who's been there for a few years now. He was a first overall pick in the 2012 import draft, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And this year they got Vladimir Kachev.
Mm-hmm.
Or Chachyov.
Right. He's the one who scored that wicked goal, right?
Well, to be fair, he danced around Samuel Morin, and...
Well, that's not saying much.
Yeah, anybody can dance around Samuel yeah. Morin.
Jake Vertanen could... Vertanen? Yeah. Is it Vertanen or Vertanen?
Vertanen,
I think. Okay. Jake Vertanen could dance yeah. around him.
Yeah. But, you know, they're going to be able to get a good guy at 36, too. Like, it's not a really top-heavy draft. But you know, there's a lot of good mid-round names. I think we always say this about drafts.
You know what I was thinking? If Ehlers hits a bump in the road or starts to struggle and the Canucks take him, we can always go with the Nikolaj Echlers.
Yeah. I was actually thinking of a way to write that joke during... Of course, then somebody noticed that TSN actually misspelled his name.
Yeah.
But the guy I really want to bring up... plays with Sam Reinhart and Cranbrook.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Jaden Deschanel.
Okay.
Free Jaden. But
it's spelled Jaden like J-A-E, right?
J-A-E-D-O-N.
Yeah.
Jaden Deschanel, in his draft year, had 30 goals, 78 points in 69 games, playing alongside Sam Reinhart.
Right.
Nobody drafted him, even though those are crazy numbers for a guy in his draft year.
Yeah.
Why wasn't he drafted? Probably not, because people are thinking, well, he played with Sam Reinhart, ergo, they didn't draft him because he's 5'9".
Yeah, that...
You know. So now this year he has 98 points in 70 games. I think he's still leading the WHL in playoff scoring, although he's played in a couple long series already. His team is going to a seventh game tomorrow night
right.
against Medicine Hat. Anyway, 98 points in 70 games. He plays with Reinhart, but... I think that he's probably going to, you know, I think that he's a good enough player on his own, right. presumably, and definitely worth taking a flyer on in the fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh round.
Right.
And he'll probably be available at that point. And they also have another guy, Luke Philp. I'm not sure where he's from.
How do you spell the last name?
Wow, he's from Canmore. That doesn't sound right. Yeah, Luke Philp. Anyway, he had 77 points in 71 games. He's also a 17-year-old. He was born on the same day as Sam Reinhart. Early November.
So yeah, all these point totals from junior, like, you really have to have some perspective, because like every junior game I've ever watched has been like 6-4 or 7-5 or something. Like, these goalies are really bad.
We've been to some 2-1 games.
Pretty overwhelmed. Well, no,
because you watch the Giants and they have Peyton Lee.
No, but I mean, like, most junior games I've seen have been like very high scoring, thrilling games, and that's why I enjoy going to see them, because they're exciting. But the goaltending is overwhelmed.
Yeah, and that's why you have to take into account, like, you know, you can't just look at it like you can't just look at Dane Fox and say, oh, he scored 60 goals in the OHL, you know, he's gonna be an NHL scorer. You need to take into account the league they play in, even down to the division they play in,
right?
Because there's a lot of divisional games in junior hockey, and how old they are,
and the fact that he's basically like a grown man playing against children,
yeah. So, you know, 20-year-olds will always score a ton of goals.
I think based on what we've seen from Alexander Millet or Millet.
Well, I'm going to throw up this new name here.
I think Brendan, we're familiar with overagers.
Brendan Shineman.
Okay.
In 2011-2012 with Tri-City, he had 58 goals, 76 assists, 134 points with the Tri-City Americans. by far the WHL leading scorer. And he scored, to be to his credit, he scored 13 goals in the AHL this year. Ooh. With Portland. So, you know, that's pretty much...
Take it for what it's worth.
Like, when we're ragging on Dane Fox, we're not ragging on Dane Fox because we don't like him.
Right.
It's because, oh, you know...
He did what he's supposed to do, but the problem is that, like, if he was this elite talent, he probably would not still be in the OHL. That's the point.
Although there was some rumors of some off-ice things that kept him out of the draft in his year. But, like, he's had some decent numbers throughout his career.
If he was really that good, teams often overlook those off-the-ice problems.
Well, not if they happen a week before the draft.
I don't know. If he's really an elite talent, he's probably getting drafted.
That's very true.
I don't care what he could have done. All right, Cam.
So anyway, we're targeting for our philosophy young players, with the exception of Deschanel, skilled players.
Right.
And,
I mean, luckily there's a lot of ways they could go that may very well be the right way. Like, there's not, like, you know, if they don't take this one guy, then, so I feel like
there's going to be four or five guys.
If they're doing it right, they're going to have, like, their pick of
good
prospects.
Yeah.
Which is a good spot to be in. Because you don't want to be, like, picking sixth in a five-player draft and then be praying that, you know.
What happens? Remember when it was speculated that Marcus Nelson would come in as the general manager?
Yeah.
He comes in. And you know who? He's the general manager. Moto. You know who plays for Moto?
Who?
Willie.
I've been led to believe that every single Swedish person gets along. So it would be good for the brand to keep bringing in Swedish people. They'd help support the city.
Well, you want to bring in Nikolaj Ehlers because he'd mesh easily with Niklas Jensen and Yannick Hansen.
Yeah.
Just wants the most Danes.
That's true.
Because every Canadian player gets along, too.
Yeah.
Like Sean Avery and Martin Brodeur.
Yeah.
Best friends for life.
BFFs. Cam, we're going to log off now.
Yeah, now would be a good time to log off.
I don't know. We'll probably do some stuff during the playoffs and in the summer. In terms of draft stuff, it's definitely going to pick up steam in the coming weeks. Like, we're going to do profiles and stuff like that.
Yeah, we have to rank our top 15.
Mm-hmm.
So
we'll have our own big board.
Yeah, we'll have a big board. It'll be and this one is...
We should just do a bunch of, like, mock drafts just so we have, like, version 12.
Yeah.
Version 13.
I think we may as well just have everyone just make the big board.
Just one big board.
And I'm putting Brendan Gaunce at the top of mine again.
Can they just redraft Brendan Gaunce in the second round?
We're going to unsign him, and now we're going to draft him again with the sixth overall pick.
That's how good we think he is.
Yeah. This is a bold move.
All
right. Well, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
And, oh, wait. Are we doing another podcast after this?
Yeah, we're going
to... Wow.
We're going
to talk to you so much.
We're going
to
talk about the playoffs.
Okay.
Something that we didn't want to post on Canucks Army because we didn't want to depress people. So thanks for bringing that up.
Well,
I thought we were just gonna like pretend the playoffs were not happening this season.
I thought we were drafting teams.
Not on Canucks Army.
Okay, fine.
It's a Canucks blog. They're on the playoffs. Why are you?
You don't know there are five nations blogs and none of them have a playoff team.
Did you know that all of Canada is cheering for the Montreal Canadiens?
Yeah, I was led to believe that.
Yeah,
I actually am. I have my Subban jersey ready to go.
Oh, man. All right, Cam. You know what to do.
Log off.
Delete your Twitter.
You've already done one of those things.
And we'll be back soon enough. Thanks for listening.